be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. The Lord Jesus appointed 72 disciples, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money, no bag, no sack, no sandals. Greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.'" The Gospel of the Lord. My brother priests, dearest sisters, brothers and sisters in Christ, how beautiful it is that tonight we begin our gala festivities here in the monastery, praying with and for the Dominican nuns who never cease to pray for us. No matter how great the speakers will be later on this evening at the Summit Grand Hotel, none will compare to Isaiah, David, and Jesus Christ who have just addressed us. Despite the extraordinary training and genius of the chef and staff in the kitchen across on Springfield Ave, no cuisine can compare to the menu of the Last Supper that we will have the privilege to receive within minutes, the true food and drink that contain the nutrients of eternal life. Notwithstanding the great gifts and fittingly ascending bids, we pray, that will be placed in the silent auction, no item matches the pearl of great price being offered here, nor the cost of the starting bid, which is the offering of our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, our spiritual worship. Just as even the most extravagant wedding receptions pale to the significance of the nuptial mass that unites a man and a woman in one flesh to each other, and both of them to God, so tonight's gala dinner, even as beautifully prepared and joy-filled as it will be, will always remain like a dessert to the main course, because it's here that we celebrate in the most fitting and powerful way of all the indispensable mission of our cloistered Dominican nuns. There's a famous scene in the Gospel very dear to the sisters when Jesus went to the house in Bethany of Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Martha, as we remember, was busy with all the details of putting on a great dinner, while Mary remained at Jesus' feet listening to him. Martha, burdened with much serving, approached Jesus and queried, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." And Jesus replied that she was anxious and worried about many things, but only one thing was necessary. Mary had chosen the better part, he declared, and was not going to be taken away from her. Martha, of course, loved the Lord very much, and everything she was doing with the heart of a good Samaritan. But Jesus gently and mercifully upbraided her because she was missing the whole point of his visit. He had come not principally to be fed, but to feed, not to be served, but to serve. And it was Mary who realized this, and he declared had chosen the better part. Applied to our situation, we could say that as much as the sisters appreciate the work of an extraordinary team of St. Martha's of Summit, who have labored tirelessly doing so many things to make the gala dinner successful and help the nuns raise the money to make possible many urgent renovations and necessary improvements in this house of God, what they are even more grateful for is our joining them here in their home so that we can sit with them at the feet of the one whom they love, listen to him, thank him, love him, and let him bless and serve us. They want this monastery to be a true Bethany for each of us, and are so happy we have joined them tonight, not only so that Jesus can give us what he knows we need in response to our love and generosity to them in his name, but so that they can share with us the fruits of their contemplation in the way they pray, sing, and live joyfully the Mass. And so we echo St. Peter's words in the Mount of Transfiguration, "Lord, how good it is we are here." The sisters have chosen to have us celebrate with them a votive Mass of St. Dominic, not just because the temperatures of the past few days may have gotten some of us thinking of their Holy Founder's feast day at the beginning of August, but because this year, the Order of Preachers is celebrating the octocentenary of its approval as a religious order in 1216. The fact that in God's providence, this 800th anniversary is occurring within the celebration of the extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy called by Pope Francis is an even greater reason to celebrate. St. Dominic spent his long days carrying out the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, especially preaching the faith, calling everyone to conversion and holiness, instructing those who are hungering for the truth, counseling those who had fallen away from the faith to various rigorous or lax substitutes. He spent his short nights, however, in prayer, asking the Lord repeatedly, "My God, my mercy, what will become of sinners? My God, my mercy, what will become of sinners?" That mercy that he incessantly implored and indefatigably dispensed was one of the chief characteristics of his life. And it's one of the foremost features of the life of his firstborn daughters here. When they make their vows, the prioress asks each of them, "What do you seek?" And prostrated, with their faces humbly toward the floor, each faithfully replies, "God's mercy and yours." Each of the nuns comes here in search of God's mercy, not just for themselves, but for us in the world. And how much mercy God regularly gives them here. As many of you know, the sisters have experienced an incredible manifestation of God's merciful love by the great number of new sisters that have entered this monastery over the past dozen years. In response to our prayers and theirs over many years for vocations, what Jesus mentioned in tonight's gospel, God the Harvest Master has responded with his typical largesse. Our persistence in praying for and with them has borne great fruit. Today, the novitiate is 3 novices and 1 postulant coming not only from the U.S. and Canada, but Ireland and Singapore. And God continues to draw many to inquire about becoming nuns here in search of that same mercy of God, in a life in which they will perpetually offer to him, the Eternal Father, his dearly beloved Son's body, blood, soul, and divinity, together with Mary, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. The Lord's loving mercy provides a key to unlock the beautiful mystery that continues to unfold behind the grill. When a young woman crosses the threshold of the enclosure to embrace this life of prayer, she does so not just in response to the Lord's calling her, but because she has fallen totally head over heels in love with God. The bridegroom who loves her, despite all her weaknesses and failings, and seeks to cleanse her by water and the word and adorn her with his own virtues. Nothing other than that love, received and reciprocated, would make it possible for her to leave her country, her family, her friends, the things she enjoys and loves, to live a life that remains incomprehensible to the multitudes. But what the sisters discover is that love that drew them here doesn't remain static as they cross the threshold to embrace it. It grows and matures as through sharing in the spousal love of Christ, they discover and embrace in him and in imitation of Mary their vocation to spiritual maternity as mothers of souls. It's here, as they grow in union with mercy incarnate, that they begin to share in his mission for the salvation of the world, praying and interceding for all of us, that we too, and the members of our families, our communities, our parishes, and especially those who are most lost, abandoned, and downtrodden, might come to know the inmost sanctuary of God's compassion, return to the Father's house, and live in the Father's love. St. Dominic founded the Order of Preachers 8 centuries ago for preaching in the salvation of souls. And the nun's spiritual maternity is a particularly eloquent form of sacred preaching. The sisters are not sent out physically in pairs as lambs among wolves, carrying no purses, sacks, and sandals, as the disciples were in tonight's gospel. No one exclaims about them what is said about the Lord's heralds in the prophet Isaiah. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the one who brings glad tidings. But that doesn't mean they don't preach. They preach in a particularly powerful way through their silence, through their presence, through their spoken and sung prayer, through their counsel in the parlor, through their websites, through the sacred sense of Signe du soap, which is more pure through their prayers than 99.4% clean ivory soap. And they preach in a particular way through their lives as spiritual mothers. They announce the gospel by their priorities in all these ways. They announce what Isaiah proclaimed: God is King. They comfort God's people. They raise a cry. They shout for joy. They put today's psalm into perpetual action, constantly singing a new song to the Lord, literally with the harp and with melodious lyrics. An application of today's gospel: they don't move about from house to house, but stay where they're welcomed, eat what's set before them, receive the peace Christ offers, and announce to each other and to all of us, the kingdom of God is at hand for you. In season and out of season, in winter when their boiler breaks, and in summer when they seek the cool of the shade, they seek to share with others the fruits of their contemplative life, and as spouses of Christ seek to fulfill the bridegroom's desire that all might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. All of us are here tonight because in the regular cacophony of our life, we have heard the preaching of God's word through them. And they have announced to us in one or many ways the good news of great joy about the merciful love of God that has ravished them, and that they are praying will likewise enthrall us. This monastery is an oasis of God's mercy for them and us. On Sunday, Catholics across the world heard the story of Moses on the hilltop with his arms raised in prayer while Joshua led the Israelites against the Amalekites in the plain below. As long as Moses kept his arms aloft in prayer, the Israelites triumphed. When his weary arms began to droop, the Amalekites had the upper hand. So Aaron and Hur sat Moses on a rock and stood at his side, supporting his hands so that they would remain uplifted in prayer, which led to Israel's definitive victory. That's a twofold image of what happens here on this hilltop the world calls Summit. First, the sisters, like Moses, never stop praying for us in the midst of the battlefield between good and evil that's raging in the world and in our country. More than ever, we need monasteries like this, with nuns like this, dedicated to the one thing necessary so that they can become beacons of light in an increasingly dark world and be living reminders for us of God's presence, his help, and his mercy. But they can't do it alone. And that's the second way that image from Sunday is relevant tonight. They need us as their Aarons and hers, supporting them in their life of prayer for us and for the world, praying with them, praying for them, imploring the Harvest Master of Vocations, and giving them the material support they need so that they can continue to implore God's mercy on our behalf, on their behalf, and for the whole world. Tonight, we join them here at this altar, in this Gala of Galas, taking place in this modern Bethany at the summit, to thank God for the gift of the nuns' presence in our life, in the church, and in our community. We ask God to bless them with the merciful love they've come here to seek, especially in this double holy jubilee year. And we ask God through them never to cease blessing us. Praise be Jesus Christ.